Even though I know there is a God, I still feel like He is not there. How can I be sure He is listening to me? What's a sign? Oh boy. Again, I have answered this question, interestingly enough, in a lengthier version in the book, Cries of the Heart. One of the questions is, why don't I feel my faith? There is a balance. Feelings are vitally important, and that's why I think music plays such an important part in our lives. What is music? It's putting to lyrics and putting to strains and rhythm some of the passions of the heart that cannot be expressed just in prose. So it lifts you to the imagination in a way that pure speech cannot often do. The sound and the strain lifts you there. So feelings are very important. But I'll say a very important point on the heels of that. I have found out that if you built your marriage on feeling, very few marriages would make it. You have to build it on the fact of a moral commitment. And the more you are morally committed, I will guarantee you, the more the feeling follows. And it transcends the feeling to a sense of belongingness and fulfillment. Feelings will come and go. I would suggest to you that one of the most important things in your life may be to examine your own psychological makeup. We are all wired differently. You may be a person who needs more of that enchantment and thrill. At many times in the day, somebody else may say, I don't have that immense need. I can live with it punctuated farther apart. If you are that individual who has more and more of that need, the best thing you can do is to belong to a small group or belong to a few good friendships that you can have so that they are there to pick you up when that need. And don't be embarrassed about it. We are sometimes wired differently. I have to say, when I've finished a series of meetings, there's only one thing I want to do. I want to be in my family and lock the door and nothing else for a few days. I just need that company. But there are times where you need to be in different settings. And I try to honor that in my life. You may need to take a hobby. You may need to get involved in that which gives you thrill. You may be a musician. You may be an artist. You may be a good athlete. Do it all to the glory of God. And you will find the enchantment comes when you're using all of your gifts. If you are gifted in certain ways and not using it, your feelings will die within you and you will become a cynic. Use your gifts to the glory of God. Find friendships that are meaningful and relate well to you. How do you explain John 3, the need to be born again? Is a personal encounter with Jesus necessary for salvation? The way to explain John chapter 3 in that encounter that Jesus had with Nicodemus, you remember Jesus is conversing with Nicodemus as a leader, and Jesus, he says, you know, nobody can do these things except he be from God. And Jesus looked at him and he said, you know, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And Nicodemus raises the question, how can a person be born again once he's already sort of had his physical birth? And Jesus counters by saying, I'm not talking about a physical birth. The birth we are talking about is that which is engendered by the Holy Spirit and brought to new birth because of the power of God. Now, this is a very important distinction that needs to be made. If you were, for example, to talk to Gautama Buddha about how you attain nirvana, and I've dealt with that in my book, The Lotus and the Cross. I spent days on end with Buddhist priests and monks and scholars in Malaysia and in Thailand, spent every afternoon in their monasteries or in their temples. Gautama Buddha was an atheist. He did not believe in the existence of God. At best, he was a non-theist. The existence of God is moot in Buddhism. What happens in Buddhism is that you work into a system of merit because every birth is a rebirth. Now, it is important that we distinguish Buddhist doctrine of rebirth to the Hindu doctrine of reincarnation. Because in the Hindu doctrine of reincarnation, the identity survives. You come incarnate again. In the Buddhist doctrine, you do not have the same identical ego that is reborn. It is an accretion of the karma of the previous life and the lives of the parents who bring you to birth. That total accretion comes in a new birth. And what you have to do is work that karma out until you cease from all desire. And in that nirvanic experience, sort of the word extinguish is really not the best word to describe it, because sometimes the idea of a candle is used. But there's sort of the sublimation of that life that has now emerged from having ceased to desire anything at all. So in Buddhist thought, the onus is on you. You have to determine that. You work it out. You follow the Eightfold Path. You follow the Four Noble Truths. You is all you have. In the Christian worldview, that is not the case. You can never earn yourself into the kingdom of heaven. The word fallen short of God's glory is not just the idea of transgression. It's the idea of not being able to attain to the, you miss the mark. The Greek word is like a archer who aims his arrow and does not hit the bullseye. So it is not just a violation, it is an inability. So what God does through His Holy Spirit in this new birth is bring something to birth within you that you cannot engender yourself, will as you may. You do not will yourself into the kingdom of God. This is radically different to other worldviews. And in Islam, it is inshallah. It is the mercy of God. It is the will of God that determines your destiny. The average Muslim will tell you he or she can never be certain of salvation. The average person, there are some ways in martyrdom and so on that they think there are ways to attain it. In the Christian faith, you and I cannot attain it by any noble or good deed, for we've all fallen short of the glory of God. It is the transformation that He seeks in us, not the perfection that will and intent alone can bring. So what happens is when the Holy Spirit invades your life, it is a supernatural birth. He brings to birth within you that which you cannot engender yourself by any means or any application. And Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, you're supposed to be a teacher of people and you do not know these things, that you cannot enter the kingdom of God without new birth. So, sir, madam, your question is a profound one. Can salvation only come through an encounter with Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is the affirmative. Yes. Now there's a question here that we will deal with in closing. What about those who haven't heard and so on? But the answer to your question is, you cannot enter heaven. I cannot enter the presence of God without the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And the answer for a child and a baby, historic Christianity has always answered it with reference to a couple of passages in the Old and the New Testament, that the child who does not have the facility to choose between options nevertheless finds himself or herself in the presence of God eternally, but it is only the efficacious work of Jesus Christ that makes it possible even for that child to be there. Is repentance necessary for salvation, or is believing enough? Believing must incorporate repentance. What is it you're believing? You're believing that you are not worthy of salvation. So in Acts chapter 3, the Apostle Peter stands up and he says to repent and believe. It is two parts of it. Because you see, when you look at the concept of following, there are two metaphors for it. There's a turning away from and a turning to. When you say, yes, I do, to the woman you're going to marry, you are also saying, no, I don't, to everyone else. And if you forget that and just say to your wife, I just believed, I didn't repent. You know, I just meant, yes, I said to you, but I meant yes to everyone else. It's implicit in the belief in the salvation is the belief that He has described you correctly, that He commanded. The Apostle Paul, standing in front of Athens, he said, now He commands all men everywhere to repent. And I think that command to repentance is very, very clear. And it's a change of mind, a metanoia, a turn. The very word means a mind, that the changing of the mind, and that is brought about by the Holy Spirit.